Continuing with our topic of tarbiyat al-awlad, the raising of children, righteous children, as I promised on Monday, we will be looking at spouse selection, a very important part, one of the most important relationships, in fact, the most important relationship choice that we will make within our lives, not only because of the sukoon that it will provide, the completeness that it will provide, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rum, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا عَلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And of his signs is that he has created from yourselves your spouses, so that you may find peace. And he has placed love and mercy between you. In this there is a sign for people who think. Besides that, there is the consideration of the progeny that will be produced. And we will look at these different things that we have. But a word of warning, if we're already married and we think, oh, I wish I had known all this. Remember, the idea in life is to look forward. And the way to look forward is to know that you can only change yourself. And when you change yourself for the better, it reflects out and it does make a change in the person across. Love is an amazing changing force. It changes a young woman who, when she was at her mom's house, could not get up in the morning, especially on weekends. And yet, as soon as she gets married and has a child, the child need only sneeze, and even in the darkest and the coldest of nights, she's up to her child. That's what love does. Anyway, looking at the selection of spouse, the first thing one must consider is the persons between whom marriage is forbidden. We can divide them into three groups, and the person whom you cannot get married to are those who are mahram. The first group is blood relations, and those are a man, for example, cannot marry his mother or grandmother, daughter and her descendants. He cannot marry his sister, including stepsisters. He cannot marry his sister's daughter and her descendants, or brother's daughter and her descendants. Cannot marry his paternal aunt or maternal aunt. A woman cannot marry her father and grandfather, son and descendants, brother, including stepbrothers, brother's son and their descendants, sister's son and his descendants, paternal uncles or maternal uncles. Then there is mahrams, which are based on affinity. This is the second group you cannot get married to. So these are people who are in affinity to one because on the ground of the relationship created by marriage. A man cannot marry his mother-in-law or daughter-in-law or stepmother or stepdaughter, or even the wife's sister, only as long as the other sister continues to be his wife. A woman cannot marry her father-in-law or her son-in-law or her stepfather or stepson. She cannot marry her sister's husband as long as the other sister continues to be his wife, as I've just mentioned. And finally, there are mahrams, which are based on fosterage. Now, these fosterage is where a mother has allowed another woman to breastfeed her child. And all schools of thought have their own amounts which fosterage is based on. So you will need to refer to your own school of thought to find out who a foster mom is, and therefore her children cannot be married into. The second aspect that we need to look at when it comes to selection of a spouse is suitability, and in Arabic that is called kufu. And the criteria for suitability is five. Now, I've taken all this from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Ahlul Bayt. The first criteria that you would look at, and it's extremely important, is the criteria of iman. Because iman is the motivating force which pushes individuals and societies towards the goal which it has set before it. In Islam, nikah is not a bilateral contract. It's trilateral. The divine dimension has to be in there to be able to call it nikah. Allah has to be invited into the relationship. Because marriage is not merely a tool to legalize physical relationships, but it is the formation of a family. the objectives of mutual love and contentment and the raising of a progeny can only be achieved if both the husband and wife are on the same spiritual plane. And so often we look over this. We do not understand it. We think, inshallah, everything will be all right. It will not be all right. Because the emotional and spiritual side of a human being are so interlinked that it is so important that in a relationship as important as marriage, where there is the formation of a family, we have to consider this. Time in and time again, we've seen young people who have got married to people who are not on the same spiritual plane as themselves. They may not realize the problems that arise initially, and I'm not at all saying that there are problems all the time. There may be a few exceptions. But in the majority of cases that we have seen, we find that when the children come on the scene, there is a dilemma. Who will the child follow? Your religion or my religion? Whose spirituality will he hang on to? And will he take from? Very often I hear, we'll teach him both. How can you tear a nafs apart? How can you create a splintered nafs in a child so young? Have rahmah. Try and be on the same spiritual plane. The second criteria of kufu is descent. And we've talked about this. Remember, genes are so important. So you've got to make sure where and with whom you will have the progeny that will be the best of both of you. The third criteria is akhlaqiyat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, as soon as a suitor who is religious and with whose manners you are satisfied comes to you, asking for marital alliance, take action to accomplish marriage. If you will not do so, you will have deviated from the right path and may be faced with a great crisis. He said, one who chooses a spouse based on beauty and wealth, Allah will deprive him of that beauty and wealth. If the spouse is chosen on the criteria of religion and morals, that not only will Allah give the benefit of religion and morals, but also of the beauty and the wealth. How do you judge the akhlaq of a human being? Through their interaction with others, with family, with neighbors, with friends, with community. Do they fulfill the rights of others? If they were to be tried in a court accused of having a Muslim character, would they be found guilty? The fourth one, which I don't think I need to talk about because these days it seems to come naturally, is compatibility. It's a similarity in outlook and ideas. Now the question really which has to be asked is, can I take this person as a companion for life? Again, it boils down to the same thing. What are their intended feelings about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their feelings about higher goals and objectives, their philosophy of life, their ambitions in life, things which are really important in marriage. If we deviate over to cooking skills and house management, they can all be acquired and nurtured. But inherent values about life are unchangeable. And finally, there needs to be an essence of financial competence. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says a suitable husband is he who is virtuous and has sufficient financial means. It is part of life to have financial means. It is the duty of a husband to be able to support his wife. Yes, there are issues that are concerned where if there are issues that need to be addressed, maybe the parents and the community can help out. But the essence still remains that the maintenance, that the financial responsibility is that of the husband. And finally, I said there were three things. One was the persons between whom marriage is forbidden. Second was suitability or compatibility of whose five criteria we've seen. And finally, there must be free consent of both parties. There is so much in the media today about forced marriages, honor marriages, or whatever you want to call them. But as far as Islam is concerned, both parties must be free in their choice without any coercion, emotional blackmail or any other physical blackmail that may take place. And the Masumeen have continuously stressed that the main condition of the validity of a marriage is free consent. There should be no imposition at all. Let me tell you a hadith. A young girl came to Rasulullah and said, Ya Rasulullah, from the hand of this father. And he said, what has your father done to you? And she said, he has a nephew and he has given me in marriage to him before consulting me in the matter. Rasulullah says, now that he has done it, do not oppose it. Agree to it and be your cousin's wife. She said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't like him. How can I be the wife of a man I don't like? The Prophet said, if you don't like him, that is the end of the matter. You have full authority. Go and choose a man whom you would like to marry. And then she said, well, it just so happens that I really do like my cousin. I don't like any other person. But because my father did it without my consent, I have purposely come to put this question to you and get your reply and decision on the matter, because I wish to inform all women of all times that fathers have no right to take a decision on giving their daughters in marriage to whomsoever they like. Inshallah, we will continue on Friday with Tarbiyat-e-Aulad.